The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Hello and welcome to Blooming Rainbow, a podcast about the struggles and history of the LGBTQ plus community. And now your host, Stephanie Nunez. Welcome back to another episode of Blooming Rainbow. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I really appreciate it. You don't understand. Just knowing someone is listening to me talk is still crazy to me. And I know it sounds very repetitive, but it's a continuous feeling that I have, and I'm very grateful every single day for each and every single one of you. But anyway, let's get to it. Today's episode is talking about the Pride Parade and just a little bit about it and some issues that have come up. Not issues within the Pride Parade, but Pride Month as well. You'll understand more when I start talking. But anyway, it has only been 50 years since the first Pride Parade was held in March in New York City. This was held on June 29th, 1970, on the one-year anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. I'm sure you know about Marsha P. Johnson. And during this first parade in New York, it was a very small social thing, actually. And everyone is marching and waving their signs around, and people would drive by them with their cars and spit out at them. And they would yell at them. But Marsha P. Johnson would tell them, the marchers and their allies, to, quote, pay them no mind. That's what the P is for. Pay them no mind. Don't let them stop us, end quote. I think that's great, and it really shows the type of person that she was. Pride parades have grown a lot since then. In the 1980s, pride parades were already taking place in cities like Montreal, London, Mexico City, and Sydney. It was all great, and everyone is high off this energy, but unfortunately, many tragedies struck the LGBTQ plus community, including the AIDS crisis, and that is when a shift occurred. There was a shift in energy and in tone during those times. The marches and demonstrations now were focused on the AIDS crisis more than ever. In 1999, President Bill Clinton issued a proclamation that every June would be Gay and Lesbian Pride Month in the US. President Barack Obama then expanded on that. In 2008, he issued another proclamation that the month of June would be commemorated as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. These demonstrations help get the word out and show that people, part of the community, are not harmful and simply just want what everyone else already has. I personally don't believe that's asking for too much. Moving on to the 2000s, the early 2000s, there were more campaigns for same-sex marriage. Many demonstrations that took place focused a lot on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And let me just talk about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy for a little bit. This was also something that was put into place by former President Bill Clinton. Before then, before the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, gay men and women had been completely banned from serving in the military. Now, with this new policy, homosexual servicemen and servicewomen could be in the military if they did not openly disclose their sexual orientation. But even then, many military officers were opposed to this because they feared that their simple presence, the simple presence of homosexuals in the military, would undermine morale. I'm getting all of this from Britannica.com. Just in case anyone wants to go look it up, you're more than welcome to. But anyway, moving on from that, the Pride Parade is used as a way to have our voices heard, not only within our own community, but to the wider community as well. We know this parade is going to attract a lot of people, and we know a lot of people who don't agree, which, how can you not agree on something someone is born as? But the point is, we know a lot of people like this that are going to come to this parade. We know a lot of people that dislike us are going to be coming to this parade. And the parade has evolved so much. Instead of simply focusing on LGBTQ plus community issues, we now speak on more issues than just that. For example, racial justice is one of those issues, which racial justice is an issue within the LGBTQ plus community. All issues fall under the LGBTQ plus community because anyone within the community could be facing multiple issues. There are people of color who are part of this community. There are women. There are many people from the margins that are a part of this community. So all issues are truly LGBTQ plus issues. Unfortunately, Pride has also become a way for corporations to make money. Every time when June comes around, we see how many large corporations change their profile pictures on social media to rainbow colored icons. We see how they make one little post and they call it a day, thinking they ended discrimination against the community. How brave of them to do that. We also see how even some restaurants make Pride meals, or how they have one little section at the store for Pride apparel. It seems to be that Pride is used as a way to appeal to the masses, or at least some people. The same way Black Lives Matter was done wrong with that as well. Corporations love to use in-the-moment issues to get people to buy their products. They don't really care about the marginalized people. They care about the marginalized people's money. The second June is over, everything goes back to how it was. No more rainbow colored icons, no more Pride meals, no more Pride apparel sections, and our people are still getting discriminated. Our people are still getting jumped for being a part of the community. There are Black trans women who are still getting murdered on the streets, and no one does anything about it. Our kids are still growing up thinking that there's something wrong with them. And it's really frustrating when you see all of these people make their posts and tell you how proud they are of you, but you know that deep down they don't care. If your parents were to kick you out for being a part of the community, they wouldn't be there. Nothing changes if you change your profile picture. Nothing changes if you don't put your money where your mouth is. Instead of buying that Pride meal, why don't you directly give that money to someone that is a part of the community that is in danger? Why don't you do that? Why don't you go out of your way to do that? Personally, for me, this little segment part of it, of the podcast, is very emotional. And I know many people won't get it if they're not a part of the community, or if they're not a part of a marginalized community. Performative activism is something that really just fucks me up. Because everyone claims to care so much. Everyone loves to be seen as a good person. Everyone wants to be on the right side of history. Everyone wants to make sure that they are not seen as a bad guy. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to putting in the work, when it comes down to acknowledging your privilege and sharing that privilege, no one wants to do it. And I always ask myself, why? Why does nobody care enough to actually genuinely care? And I have had friends that are no longer my friends that voiced their support for me when I came out to them. But I know that deep down, they don't agree with who I am. And how could you not agree with something that I didn't choose? How can you hate me for something that I didn't choose? How can you think I'm a bad person for loving a woman? What about that makes it so bad? I don't think loving the same sex is a bad thing. I don't think loving anyone is a bad thing. And of course, you can look at that from an ethical point of view, and we could have a whole conversation on that, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I think it gets exhausting at some point. And I think, for me anyway, Pride which I've never been able to go to because my mom always says no, and then I've never pushed the subject just so nothing would be suspicious. I feel that it would be nice to go. To know that I can go to a place where it's just 100% support. There are no doubts, there are no questions, there are no nothing. And it sucks because the people that are supposed to be your friends, the people that are supposed to support you, don't. For whatever reason. And it sucks because it makes you feel that you're doing something wrong. Which you're not, by the way. And if you're listening to this and you've ever felt or you feel that you're doing something wrong because of who you are and because of who you love or who you want to be or who you know that you are, it's not wrong. You're not a bad person. I never want anyone to feel that they are a bad person for loving who they want to love. And I think that's part of the podcast. Part of the point why I wanted to make this is because I never got anything like this. And I remember feeling so guilty. I felt so guilty when I really understood who I was, or at least what my... And I don't even know. I don't even 100% know what my sexuality is. But the moment I knew that I liked a girl, way back sophomore year of high school, where I 100% knew that I was crushing on this girl, I felt so guilty. And I remember, and this isn't a diss on anyone that's religious or anything, but I remember I was in the bathroom and I was just looking at myself. And I was so disgusted and so repulsed that I could be someone like that. That I could be someone that I was taught to hate. That I could be someone that was never accepted in my family, that would bring shame upon them. And I was so scared to be a disappointment to my mom. And I remember just falling down to my knees and saying sorry to myself. And I was saying sorry to God. I remember how guilty and how religious guilt just, it fucks you up. Like, it really does. I remember just apologizing for being who I was. And I don't think I've ever really sat down and realized this. When I was typing this up, I kind of made some edits, because first of all, the outline that I did was really, really rushed, so I had to redo that for myself, which at the end of the day is the only person that it's helping is me. But when I was typing this out, it wasn't super emotional. I was just, you know, putting my silly little thoughts on a silly little doc on my computer. But now that I'm talking about it and I'm alone in my dorm and these thoughts have nowhere else to go but this microphone and your ear, it kind of really hit me, because I've thought about, like, obviously I had a girlfriend at some point for like a whole year, and yeah, I was gay. I was, you know. But now I'm like, shit, like, there's people out there that really would rather have me dead than love someone of the same sex or gender. Like, isn't that crazy? I think that's crazy. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. So there is an importance in pride. It builds community. It builds togetherness. It helps people feel seen. It helps people feel heard. It helps people be a part of a community, and it helps people know that they're okay. That everything that they've felt is okay. And it brings you together with people who have suffered from the exact same thing. And there's nothing that brings people closer than that. That and understanding. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you'll be here next week. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope y'all have a good day. Have a good week. Bye.